Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Kitchens Confidential, helping restaurants strive and thrive in a takeout-driven market. This week on Meet & Three, we look at how delivery went from convenience to crucial.
In a pre-COVID universe, the commissions from these third-party delivery service providers were really high, and you were seeing oftentimes they were as high as 30%, right?
I mean, all food is about basically the history of money and the history of technological change, but takeout in particular.
I'll go ring a doorbell and watch somebody come outside and wipe down their door and their doorbell after I leave. It's kind of creepy, kind of weird, but that's the state of where we are now.
Tune in to Meet & Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Bienvenidos a un episodio más de Buen Limón Radio desde la cuarentena, desde la pandemia, y uno en donde encontramos, Mariana, algo muy inspirador, alguien que ha hecho un esfuerzo muy grande desde el corazón, desde su niñez, creciendo a un éxito grande en California y ahora entregando y ayudando a los que más necesitan. Se trata de un chef de origen latino que se llama Andrés Pantoja, que ha trabajado en una carrera muy exitosa en California, en buenos restaurantes y en uno en particular que se llama Taberna, de donde las comidas son muy caras, pero él en algún momento de la pandemia decidió ir y regresar a ese club de niños y niñas, al Boys and Girls Club, que lo vio crecer, para apoyar con 2,000 comidas cada noche gratis alrededor de esa comunidad en el Valle del Silicio, que llaman Silicon Valley. Mariana, démosle la bienvenida de una vez a Andrés Pantoja.
Chef, bienvenido a Buen Limón Radio. Qué placer y qué honor tenerte con nosotros hoy. Sabemos que estás cocinando en plena producción. Cuéntanos dónde te encuentras.
Gracias. Ahorita estoy en Redwood City. Estoy en el Boys and Girls Club. Aquí se llama The Forest. Y lo que estamos cocinando ahorita son salchichas con cebolla y chiles. Pero ya, tengo mi grupo aquí cocinando, me están ayudando, poniendo mi mercancía dentro de la cocina y todo eso, porque hoy es un día bien ocupado. Jueves siempre me tiran todo al mismo día, so pongo un poco de mi energía dentro de lo que de la producción y la organización y cosas así para que nosotros todos trabajemos juntos para empujar un poco mejor y sacar toda esta comida para la gente antes de las 5:30. So ya para las 4 comenzamos a platear y todo eso y a las 5 ya casi tenemos ya todo, más de mil platos preparados ya a las 5, so nuestra producción es bien rápido, pero ya, es todo lo que estoy haciendo ahorita.
Chef, it's so beautiful the work that you're doing, and we want to ask you, so who are you cooking with? Who are the volunteers? Who are these people who are cooking with you? Tell us a little bit of that logistical side.
So as far as the cooks that are here day to day, I have two. One is, her name is Natalie. She actually grew up in the Boys and Girls Club, same one as me. But she was one generation right after mine. And I actually grew up with her brother. And now that I get to see this version too, it's really nice to see that like both sides of the family, you know, I get to see the brother and I get to see the sister. And the sister is just as talented, pushes just as hard, I'm really happy to have her here. And then I have my best friend, Javier, who was gone for the last 10 years, just as I was. Both of us working in kitchens. We grew up together here. We were here for 10 years, and then we were gone for 10 years, and now we came back, and it's kind of amazing to see us like all back together.
No, it's amazing. And tell us, where do the ingredients come from? I mean, 2,000 meals is so much food. How do you make it work?
A lot of the ingredients come from Byright. We have a partnership with them, so it actually makes it a little bit affordable for us to do this on a daily basis. Moving forward, we plan on working with local farmers from the farmers market. There's one in particular, her name is Jose, from Watsonville, which is probably just a little bit south of San Jose. And he actually produces some like really, really boutique type of ingredients. You got like hoja santa, epazote, different hierbas, wasonle. He has a lot of different things, and I'm really happy to see that he's willing to work with us. We just got to set up the situation for us to pull from him. But for the meantime, right now we pull a lot from Byright, and we pull a lot from my garden too, where I produce a lot of the garnishes for our plates.
I mean, it sounds like it's not only just food, you're making delicious meals. It's so inspiring to hear you saying about garnishing, using these amazing ingredients. I was reading that your inspiration comes from Mexican, Californian, Asian cuisines. Tell us how you plan those menus. How do you decide what to make?
It's interesting you asked me that. I actually work with partnership with another Boys and Girls Club, just two cities down in East Palo Alto. They handle one side of it, we handle the other side of it, and they for the most part plan the menus, but then once they come in my kitchen, I pretty much have free reign to treat it the way I like, and I always like to add those flares of flavor into all of it. So you'll see things like mole, and sometimes I get a recipe that has like mole with apple cider vinegar and chiles in it, and I'm just thinking to myself, it's like Maybe this recipe needs a little bit of love, a little bit of my Latino in it.
Un sabor latino delicioso de ajonjolí y tortillas que él trae en el corazón y en la cocina que lo vio crecer a este esfuerzo por una comunidad joven, porque es una organización que se llama el Boys and Girls Club, que está en distintas partes de Estados Unidos, pero este es particularmente en donde él creció. Y hemos visto que ha habido una ayuda muy grande de parte del tech community. Estaba leyendo en unos artículos que el ex chief executive de LinkedIn, la hermana de Sheryl Sandberg, que es la COO de Facebook, todas estas personas que tienen influencia allá en donde hay mucho bienestar y hay there's a lot of wealth, hay mucho dinero, están ayudando y lo enfocan en este gran esfuerzo. Tell us about those restaurants that you were at and how they see food, how they embrace the way you see food and how you see it. For instance, I was just reading this article in the New York Times that says that, you were handling all these very high-end meals and very elaborate dishes. And of course, you keep your taste and now you're giving it 2,000 free meals a night. So tell us about that past and then, how the contrast is with what you're doing now.
Of course. So again, John Bentley's was my grassroots. That was literally like the place where I started, and it was a high-end restaurant. And then from there, I ended up going to a place called Main Street Garden Cafe in SoCal, and that's where they had the full farm-to-tables situation happening. And a lot of the plating was very naturalistic and beautifully plated. It was always like letting the vegetables and the garnishes and any of the proteins just fall into place and letting it just look like if it was like you walked right into it. And then as I kept progressing, I went to this restaurant in Napa. So this was like years after, right? And so I ended up going to this restaurant in Napa called Taverna. a different taverna, funny enough, but this one's with a B, and it was Spanish tapas. Uh-huh. And at first, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, it's okay. You know, I've been to different restaurants, but this one in particular I liked because of the chef. His name was Sean, and he had worked in Alinea. He had worked in Cezanne. He had worked with Kren. He had worked with so many like high-end chefs, and he's done so many pop-ups and everything. And he was by himself with maybe one dishwasher running this place.
Wow.
And I see him walk into the dining hall just like with like this like focus, this force, like if the air was moving around him, like he was going to go through the air. Nothing was going to stop him. And I was like, I need to learn from that man.
This episode is brought to you by Kitchens Confidential, helping restaurants strive and thrive in a takeout-driven market. Whether you're a restaurant with a single location, a food truck, or a chef looking to expand, Kitchens Confidential can help you get your delivery and pickup-only kitchen up and running in a matter of days. They provide turnkey kitchen space, a state-of-the-art experience hub for pickup orders, and they'll even help you manage and streamline your back-office functions using their proprietary technology platform, so you can focus on what you love the most, making great food. Kitchens Confidential. To go, crafted. Learn more at kitchensconfidential.com.
And then the way he would play tapas, he would take the utmost care for like an endive. Oh, I remember the endive. Oh my God. He had the recipe called Bech Blanc. And it was basically like this liquid of different seasonings. So it had like a sweet, it had a salty, it had a sour, with a little bit of vinegar, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of salt, depending on what we had in store. When we had an inventory, we would use this Bech Blanc, and then we would sous vide the endive at a perfect temperature of, what was it, like 62 degrees Celsius for a certain period of time. It was like 20 minutes, or I even remember him getting it down to like 18 minutes and like 25 seconds.
Wow.
To the T. And he had to plunge it in ice water immediately as soon as it came out. But I didn't understand the reasons why until then, because for the first time I actually was able to taste something that made me like relax into myself. I melted into my soul, and I realized in that moment we're not just making things taste good, or it's like, oh, that's passable, or that's delicious. No, this is touching my heart. It's somehow making me feel like a part of my soul like remembered itself. And it was so amazing to have that experience and to always have those experiences with him, where he would build flavors like that. And it was simple things like just an endive salad with an endive and like a green goddess dressing, and every layer of it we built from scratch. For me, the restaurant died there because my chef wasn't there anymore. He was the only one that I wanted to learn from. So I ended up going around to different restaurants in San Francisco looking for like the next harder thing. I want to push myself even harder and harder and harder. So he sends me to Cezanne, one of his old stomping grounds,
yeah.
A time when he literally helped build stars onto the restaurant. He was one of the reasons why they have stars, just like Atelier Kren. It was one of the places where he was able to build stars for them. And so he gets me a stage there, and I'm there for the weekend, and everything matters in this Michelin star restaurant. Down to like the time you get in there, the way you wear your uniform, the way you stand, the amount of work that you're putting into everything. There's a lot that goes into living and working in a Michelin star restaurant. And I realized in that moment, I love food too much to feel like this. And I don't want to work in an environment where I'm just a number, where I'm easily disposed, because there's like 10 million other like eager cooks ready to take the challenge of working in a Michelin star restaurant. And so as much as I enjoyed myself because of the push, I decided to myself, it's like, I'll keep the pursuit of perfection with me in my heart, in my mind, something to drive me and always striving for more. But I prefer working in a more relaxed environment where I was able to actually like taste the food myself, where I was actually able to build flavors myself, where I was a chef de partie.
And so, perfección, pasión, dedicación, disciplina. Ahora, ¿qué te sueñas? Now that the world changed, what's the dream?
Well, the dream is to teach the next generation how to be self-sustained, how to grow your own food, and actually what to do with it. You know, like, for me, like, you have to see the ingredients as your family too. You know, you got to treat them right. You have to talk to your plants. You have to make sure they eat right. You don't just want to put them on whatever soil. And I want to show the next generation, like, this is eventually going to become you. This is you in the future. This will become you. So be nice to your ingredients and show them respect when you cook with them. Sometimes not cooking them is the best way to cook with them. And so this is something that every single time that I meet somebody new, I'm with them. It's like my food doesn't start in the kitchen. My food starts in the soil. I had a class last Tuesday. It was on pico de gallo, and the whole reason that the beautiful thing about pico de gallo is that you get all the ingredients of summer all in one. You know, you are able to like practice your knife skills, and I teach them how to actually hold a knife, how to grab vegetables, how to curl in your fingers, how to like actually slice something instead of chopping, because chopping doesn't exist. It's all about slicing. You want to be nice to your blade and keep giving them that awareness and respect for what they're doing, and instilling that type of awareness, so that way they can take it to anything else. It's like these skills are not just for the kitchen. These skills are for all of life. For when you're walking down the street, be aware of your surroundings. You know, when you're at home, you know, you respect what your mom is doing, what your dad is doing. They spend so much time and effort making them food. It's like they don't appreciate sometimes what it is that they're getting. They just eat food in front of them. But once they take my class, it's like, oh my God, this is just pico de gallo? This is what it took? It's like, yeah.
It's like a metaphor to life. It's a metaphor to life. I see that the way you feel about pico de gallo. Queríamos preguntarte, Chef Pantoja, ¿cómo ves o cómo puedes decirle a otras comunidades que sigan esa iniciativa que tú estás haciendo con el Boys and Girls Club en esa parte de California? How can you inspire anyone else that might be doing it? Like, what guidance could you give us?
What I would say is, who are you feeding? Who is the community you are feeding? Respect them. Learn about them. Remember and try to figure out what it is that they need in their lives. Sometimes we as chefs, we get a really strong ego, and we think it should be a certain type of way. And we feel like, no, it has to be this way, it has to be this way. This is better. They don't even know what they like. This has to be more. Stop for a second and just listen. Listen to what they want. And so the funny thing is that my wife is actually, she has her own food distribution program for Nuestra Casa en Hispalo Alto. And a lot of the extra food that we make here, I end up donating to her. And so she ends up distributing too, using a Second Harvest Food Bank and some of the food that I make.
That's amazing. That's always perfect.
She's always talking to her parents, for her families, and she's always telling them, like, oh, I didn't like that. I had this and that. And then she talks to me. It's like, Andres, it's like, this is the reality of it. It's like, as much as you think it's good like this, this is what they want. They don't want to try this new thing. They want to eat what they know. So it's like, I have to always meet them halfway. I always have to make it taste the way they remember it, but like kind of sneak in a little more ring up in there, little thingy nettle, an extra spice that has a more nutrients in it, But I like to always use fresh ingredients so that way they get the nutrients that they need and not just the comfort that they want.
Me encanta ese consejo a las personas que pueden hacer una iniciativa como, como la de él. Dice Mariana, el chef, que respeten a las comunidades a quienes ustedes están alimentando, a quienes están alimentando. Háganse esa pregunta y es una buena invitación para terminar esta entrevista con una historia muy inspiradora de un pujante chef latino en California que llegó a lo alto y desde lo alto ayuda a subir a otras personas, a los mismos que lo vieron crecer a los mejores restaurantes en California y ahora alimentando 2,000 personas cada noche desde el club de Boys and Girls en el cual una vez perteneció el chef Pantoja. Ha sido un placer.
Muchísimas gracias por tu tiempo y bueno, que sigas cocinando, inspirando. Y creo que una vez nuestros tomates estén listos, haremos un pico de gallo en tu honor.
Gracias a ustedes también por considerarme para esta entrevista.
Buen Limón is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us on facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates, to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.